Good morning. It is a privilege to be here this morning. My wife and I have long counted Westerville as home for many reasons. Stephanie growing up here and me doing a lot of growing up here. Many of you can attest to that. It's a privilege to be able to come back and spend a little bit of time with you all in the short time before we do have the joy and the privilege of going to Italy with the gospel of Jesus Christ to extend your ministry of preaching the gospel here in Italy and helping you all to fulfill the command given to the church here to preach the gospel to every nation. So it is a great joy for us to be here this morning and a privilege to have this opportunity. What I'd like to do is just spend the brief moments that I have looking at a charge that Timothy was given by the Apostle Paul as the Apostle Paul ended his life. And as he was getting ready to pass on into the presence of Christ, probably within 6 to 10 months of writing this letter to Timothy, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit less, Paul took the opportunity to sit down and pen some of his most personal words to anybody. And that, we would expect that going to Timothy, whom Paul calls on many occasions his son in the faith. Paul is writing this letter from Rome. As I said, he's fully anticipating his impending death. And he takes the moment to write to somebody whom he had possibly led to the Lord, as seen by that title that Paul uses for Timothy, and no doubt had trained extensively. In the second missionary journey, when Paul and Barnabas split, Paul and Silas go, and in the beginning of that journey, they pick up Timothy and they will take him around with them to teach him what it means to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And so it only makes sense that as he comes to the end of his life, he would choose to write to Timothy to continue in that service. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be starting right after perhaps one of the most well-known verses of Scripture, one that probably everyone in this room, if not everyone very closely to that, could quote if you were given the opportunity. And that's 2 Timothy 3:16, which says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. And Paul uses this moment to tell Timothy, and if you go back throughout the book, it's to be faithful, but specifically as he comes to the end, he tells Timothy to faithfully preach the Scriptures of Jesus Christ, to faithfully proclaim the gospel. And that verse is coming right off of having said that Timothy had learned from a child the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make someone wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's only in those Scriptures that we find that message. And if Paul truly believes, which he does, as he wrote in Romans chapter 11, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it makes sense that his last charge to Timothy would be to preach that Word of God. Paul, in chapter 4, verse 1, coming off of this section on the Scriptures, says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." Paul tells Timothy, and if you read the chapter 3 especially, he tells Timothy things are going to get very, very bad. And the things that Timothy is about to witness will make everything that Paul went through look easy. As time continued on, and we know what Paul went through, but as time continued on, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and continues even to this day. And in spite of everything going on around him, Paul tells Timothy, you have one task. Preach the word. Faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's kind of interesting to me, maybe to you, maybe not, that he says, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. What is that judgment going to be based upon when Jesus Christ comes and judges the world? It's going to be based upon the truth in the Word of God about Jesus Christ. Have you accepted salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, or have you rejected that? And it's that one thing alone that will separate all of humanity for all of eternity. And Paul tells Timothy, faithfully preach the word of God. If that is, in fact, what the world is going to be judged on, there is no greater thing that we can tell the world about. Because if they will give an account one day, not for whether they were good people, not for whether they went to church or did what they thought was right, but did they accept Jesus Christ or did they reject Him, there's only one thing they need to hear. And that is that salvation is through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. That is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is only found in the Scriptures. And so Paul tells Timothy, on account of this, I charge you in the presence of the one who will judge all, preach the word. Be ready at all times. It says, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. The very things that if you look back at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul says the Scripture is adequate for, is sufficient for. The very thing that we have the Scriptures to do is what we are to do with it, to teach everyone the gospel of Jesus Christ. The end of chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For they are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for telling people when and telling us when we are wrong about what we think. And not only stopping there, but for correcting, taking those wrong things that we believe and making them in line with what the Scriptures teach us. And then also in instructing or child training. I've often told people, you know, I tell my kids oftentimes they need to do such and such. And there has never been a thing that I have told them that they have gotten right the very first time. And I have never had to tell them again. And I doubt that there will ever be a time that that happens. But the same thing can be said of us. There has never been something that God has told us to do that we have just gotten right the first time and continued in. Those of you who know me know it's that way very easily. And if anyone knows you very well, they know that you're that way as well. But it's the idea of training a child continually over and over and over again, explaining and teaching what we are to do. And Paul says, be ready to do that at all times. He continues and says in verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I don't think this is hard for us to believe as we look around us every day, whether it be at work or in our families, at school, just in our neighbors, we see this happening over and over and over again. You can drive down the street this morning and pass buildings where this is happening over and over and over again every week of the year. People are looking for teachers who will tell them nice things, things that are fun to hear, like, you guys are so wonderful. You know, I'm looking out here and I couldn't imagine lovelier people than what I see right now. And while all of that may be true, I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it is either, but I'm not saying it's not. That is not what people need to hear. It's what they like hearing. And I promise you, if you said nothing more than how great people are and how lovely they are and how much God loves them, people would listen to you. But I firmly believe that we have an even nicer message than that. I can look out and say, you're all sinners. And you all deserve to go to hell. But the wonderful thing this morning is you don't have to, because Jesus Christ died to pay that penalty that you deserve. And because of that, we have the opportunity to not only live for Him in this life, but spend eternity with Him, glorifying Him. And while people may not want to hear that, that's the message that they need to hear. And Paul tells Timothy there's coming a time when they will not listen to it. And I think that we are seeing that play out every day in front of us. He uses the words that having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Just a simple illustration of what this is like. If you have a cat or a dog and you start scratching it, it will enjoy that. If you start scratching it behind its ears, it will enjoy it even more. And the animal will contort itself into whatever pretzel-shaped position it needs to keep you there. Why? Because it feels good for them. They like it. They enjoy it. And they're going to make sure that they get what they enjoy. People are the same way. Do we turn to the person who tells us things that we don't want to hear when we want advice? Or do we go to the person who tells us exactly what we want to hear and expect to hear? Human nature is to go to the person that's going to give us the advice that we want. Human nature is to turn to the person who's going to tell us how wonderful we are, not how wicked we are. And Paul tells Timothy, expect this to happen. Expect to see this every day of your life. And yet the charge remains the same. We must remain faithful stewards of Jesus Christ. We must faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in spite of what people want to hear. In spite of what people, whether people come or and listen or go away, we must remain this faithful. It's kind of interesting today. It's very popular, even within the realm of evangelicalism, to deny basic truths of the Scripture. It's popular to say that the first chapters of the Bible can't be true, that God didn't literally create everything in 6 days. He used some other process or did something else. And we're seeing it creep into the walls of what once was true Christianity. And we're seeing these myths play out. Why? Because they're so much nicer to believe in the fact that we have a Creator to whom we are accountable. And if we have somebody who made us, we must submit to that person. People will follow myths, turn to fables, turn to stories, and not want to hear the gospel. And it will become tempting as a church to say, we can reach more people if we do this. I truly believe, and I was mentioning to someone just recently, that the church is really at a crossroads right now. And there are several paths down which the church could go from here. We see churches doing many different things as we travel, both ones that we're in and ones that we know about. There are some who are saying, I'm just going to hunker down and just hold on until the end, and I'm not going to do anything. And that is wrong. It is not okay to just say, we've gone this far, we're doing okay, let's just stay still. There are some who are saying, I will do anything that I need to have an audience. And they're making decisions based on how can I get the most people here. That is also wrong. And that will lead to something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ eventually. I'm not saying it's going to happen right away, but it will come. And then there are those who are cautiously moving forward and seeking to best reach their communities and hold fast the word of truth that they have been given. And that is a path I believe Westerville has been on and will, and by God's grace, needs to continue on as you seek to reach your community for Jesus Christ, as you seek to reach those around you, as you seek to reach the world for Jesus Christ. It's not okay to just say we're going to stay where we always have been and just hunker down and wait for God to return. We must move forward, but we must do so cautiously. And we must do so understanding that we have the very thing that they need. We don't need anything else to give them. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have what people need. And Paul tells Timothy, after saying, you know, there's coming a time when people aren't going to listen, his next words are, as for you, always be sober-minded, always be careful. Because that temptation is going to grow and grow and grow to try and do what you can to reach everybody. Yet we must remain faithful above everything else. Always be sober-minded, endure suffering. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer some form of persecution. We can mark it on our calendars, our digital calendars, whatever we have. It's going to happen. And we can expect it to come. And when it comes, we must endure. We must continue through it. The temptation is going to be at that point to give up. And that probably is what Timothy's temptation was as Paul was writing this letter. as Timothy watched Paul about to suffer for what Timothy was doing himself. Paul was going to be put to death shortly for preaching the gospel. What was Timothy doing? He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The temptation would be, I don't really want to die. Maybe it's time to take a short vacation, reconsider what I'm doing, and we'll visit this again later. And Paul says, Timothy, no, you must endure. You must continue. And the temptation in America is going to be to just kind of lay low as that persecution comes. We haven't seen it happen, really. We've been immune to it for the entirety of the existence of this country. But I do not believe that that immunity will continue. We are seeing it start to come into play very, very limited as we watch the news. And there will come a day when even in America, Christianity is not easy. When we will be suffering, persecuted for our faith in Jesus Christ. And when that time comes, Paul's words will echo in our ears, we must endure. There is no other path. Do the work of an evangelist. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing only comes by the word of God, if we truly believe that, we have one task, and that is to teach the word of God, to tell people what it says. If we believe that the scriptures are the source of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, we must tell people about it. We must do the work of an evangelist, preach the gospel to everyone. That doesn't just mean your missionaries who are going out you have them across the world. And by God's grace, they will remain faithfully doing this. And you need to pray for your missionaries that they will be reminded of this over and over and over again. That as times get tough and as things get busy, that they have one task, and that is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you also must remind yourselves of that as you move forward, as you seek to reach your community, Westerville, Columbus, Gahanna, wherever you are, that you will remind yourself you have one task, and that is to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ in this world, and to tell others the good news that He has come to take away the penalty of their sin, that He might save them and they might glorify Him for all of eternity. Paul tells Timothy, be careful, endure, preach the gospel, and then he ends with complete, fulfill your ministry. As we progress through life, it becomes easier to say, you know, I've had a good life. I've done a lot for Jesus Christ. My ministry's done. It's time for me to sit back and to relax and to enjoy what God has given me in this life. And that temptation is there and big. And yet I'm going to tell you, if you are sitting here today and you are breathing, which I believe is everybody, and if it's not, we have trouble. But if you are sitting here and you are breathing, you have not completed your ministry. Because Jesus Christ will not leave you here one moment longer than He needs you to be here. When He is done with you, when you have completed your ministry for Him, He will take you home. And Paul tells Timothy, and Paul tells us as believers and as the church, fulfill our ministry. Keep working until the end. There is never a time when it is time to just give up. There is never a time when it is time to say, I'm done. It's time to take it easy. And Paul is going to go on in verses 6 through 8 and give the example of his own life and how he has pushed and fought and continued until the end. And that is the way that we need to come to the end of our lives, that we are fighting and pushing and continuing running until that last finish line, until He finally says, you're done, and takes us graciously home. Paul has lived a life that, by all means, we would love to be able to accomplish as much as he has, but none of us would ever want to go through the things that he has. I mean, I personally have never felt the desire to be shipwrecked or to be stoned or to be beaten on multiple occasions. Those things just never crossed my mind, and they will never make my bucket list. They just never would. But Paul comes to the end, and he is able to encourage and admonish his son in the faith, his good friend Timothy, that he must continue in spite of it all. If we're going to be honest, there's a little bit of Timothy in all of us. We all fear something. And as those fear, we're confronted with those fears, we have one responsibility. Endure. Push forward. Faithfully proclaim the gospel. No matter what, no matter the cost, we must continue. We have the privilege of taking this message to the people of Italy. It's a privilege that we don't take lightly. It's a privilege that, quite honestly, can be scary to realize we are going to land there, hopefully in a couple of months, and know very little language and know very few people and have to figure out just how to live, let alone how to teach people the message that their entire eternity depends on. And yet we go with the assurance, one, that God has called us, and the things which God calls us for, He will equip us for. And we go with the assurance that it doesn't depend on us. Just like the gospel here does not depend on you, God chooses to use us, but God does the work. And God will continue to do that work as He sends us to Italy. We just must be faithful. We proclaim His word. He has promised to do with it what He has purposed. As a church, as people we consider family, we encourage you, we implore you, faithfully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the message He has left us with on earth. That is the message that He has given to us to give to others, and it is the message that we must take forward and actively proclaim. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the privilege it is to be servants of the Creator of everything. We realize the task that You have given us is great, yet we realize that the power that You have given us to accomplish it is even greater. And Father, we pray that You would help us to remain faithful in spite of what comes around us, in spite of our own inadequacies, in spite of everything. And we pray that You would be pleased to use Your word to proclaim the message to many, to fulfill the purpose that You have sent it. And we'll give You the praise as we watch You work in mighty ways. In Christ's name.